Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Welcome back to hour two of the show. Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis, James Triceps, Hooper and Maroon. We just got to talking about beers because we did the beer quiz and we were talking about when we were growing up, like if it was a fancy occasion, you get a box of Crownies, wouldn't you? At home, my dad, he'd get a box of Crownies at Christmas.
Well, that was Christmas time, aren't
yeah,
that meant you were going okay then.
Yeah. The old Crownies, Anyway, we'll leave
that. A dinner ale, Anthony?
Oh, yeah, my dad used to have a dinner ale. Just take a few.
Long neck of dinner ale?
We'd go up to Budgie Woy. He'd take a few in the car on the way up. He'd have a few DAs on the way up, say, like 1974. Yeah. Have a dozen up there.
That's how you used to measure the trip. Like, how far is it between Sydney and Gosford? You'd say it's
four tallies.
Four long necks.
Yeah, four
long necks. What was your first beer, Kenty? What was the first beer you ever had?
Tui's. No, Tui's, but you know what it became? Remember Tui's Red?
That was like cheap stuff, wasn't it? Yeah.
Tui's
Red.
Tui's Red.
Tui's Red,
yeah. Tui's Red. What about you, Hoops?
Mate, I reckon mine was a VB. A vomit bomb.
Well, I used to get a couple of DAs. Bollinger. The old men have DAs in the fridge at home. I might have three or four DAs, then steal the car keys out of his work pants and taught myself to drive manual in his EH Holden. Back in the day, round grab Buckingham Street, up Chalmers Street, park it somewhere different, he wouldn't even know. He'd just get up in the morning, where's my car? Anyway, drink responsibly, people, is the message right
that
there.
Prior to the days of DUI, we should point out for the kiddies at home.
Absolutely. Of course it was. Yeah. Drink responsibly is my message. Now, let's talk about the Raiders, who were beaten yesterday by the Dragons, who bounced back into the winning circle. And the Raiders blew a pretty handy lead there. I just can't put a finger on where the Raiders have actually gone completely wrong this year.
Well, there's obviously been a lot of unrest amongst the playing group. George Williams was in the papers yesterday with his version of his departure from the club. Josh Hodgson's been very forthright with some of his public comments. You know, other players like Joe Tarpano's wife weighed in at one point on social media. There's obviously been some friction amongst the playing group.
The issue is that they jump out to leads. Yeah, that wouldn't suggest there is a problem with the players because I think it's seven or eight games now. They've had a 10-point lead or more and lost.
Yeah.
Last night they had a 12-point lead and lost.
Yep. They were lapping the Cowboys, weren't they?
And that's an issue. That's a real big issue. As far as George Williams, that sob story in the paper yesterday, spare me that. Honestly, mate, man up and take responsibility. Mm. You kept asking for a release, and he gets sadness because they said, mate, enough's enough, and they let him go. I don't know a job in the world where you're paid well into six figures, well, not 100,000, well into six figures.
I think he's up around 600.
Yeah, and you feel like having a day off, and then you don't feel like actually playing on the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be okay, and I just don't get it. There's not a job in the country where you're earning more than half. He's earning more than the Prime Minister, okay? There's not a job in the country where you are earning that much money that does not have pressure. That's why you get paid, whether it's a sportsman, whether it's a heart surgeon, whether it's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you get paid and there's pressure involved. That is the reality of life. These sob stories that George Williams puts out yesterday about how all he wanted was a cuddle, basically.
Yeah.
And the Raiders said, you know what, enough's enough. They had listened to him ask for a release. They'd agreed to let him go a year early. They'd said to him, we'll give you 12 weeks holiday at the end of the season, not 6 weeks like everybody else. We'll let you go back and stay in England until the very last moment. They gave him everything he wanted. And even after all that, even that they gave him the counselling, they got the welfare involved. After they gave him all that, what happens? He rings up and says, mate, my head's not into it. I can't come to training today and I might not be able to play on the weekend. Mm. So they just said, you know what, enough's enough, mate. You can have your release and you can go now. And then they went there, and to Denny Wilder's point today, George Williams bitching and moaning that what really upset him was the club leaking it to the media. Mm. And he felt that they weren't supporting him. Well, as Denny Wilder wrote today in the Sun Herald, he was the one that actually first broke that George Williams was homesick and looking to get out, and it didn't come from the club at all. It came from elsewhere.
Mm.
So the players think they knew what was going on, have launched back at the club about what they thought was going on. They've been wrong. They've made the classic mistake they're always into us journos about, which is going off half-cocked with only part of the information. The players were wrong. George Williams got it wrong. He's put it all on the club, the reason all this happened. And the fact is, mate, they tolerated you long enough.
Well said, Paul. Well said. And good on the club for sticking up for themselves. And like, I realise and appreciate how much people's mental health is an issue these days. I'm not taking that lightly.
No, of course.
But as soon as somebody raises the issue...
No one's trying to make light of that.
So as soon as somebody raises the issue, everyone else has just got to kind of, you know...
You've got to go and give them a hug.
Yeah. And I mean, they're trying to win a premiership.
Yeah. It's an elite sport. Mm. And look, Benny Eichen wrote a column a couple of years back, and he made a really valid point that everyone got upset about because they misread it. He basically said, if you don't have the mental capacity or the emotional capacity to handle it as a rugby league player, then rugby league's probably not the sport for you. Now, everyone, oh, you can't bag mental welfare, and they all got their feelings hurt, and there's a big backlash over it. Fact is this. If you're not strong enough to play in the front row, not heavy enough, you're not talented enough to play halfback, you're not smart enough to play halfback, you're not fast enough to play wing, they are all physical limitations. If you don't have the physical skills, then you won't play on NRL. And if a coach calls you and says, mate, you're my winger, you're not fast enough, mate, we're going to get rid of you. Everyone goes, well, that's fair enough. Some guys do not have the mental capacity, the emotional strength to withstand the cut and thrust of rugby league. That's fair enough.
Hmm.
That is you. That, unfortunately, is you. But that is part of your physical makeup as much as how much you can bench press or how fast you can run 100 metres.
Hmm.
That is the fact. And if you can't stand that, and if you come, we all know of athletes, and it's long been spoken about, athletes who unravel in certain situations and athletes who stand up in certain situations. That is their mental makeup. That is part of who they are. Now, part of sport and part of being the absolute best of the best is being able to thrive in that atmosphere. Not every player, and Gordon, you would have seen plenty of these, who've gone into Origin and just not been able to handle it. Some of the great champions of the game have atrocious records at Origin level because emotionally they couldn't handle it. That's the fact. Now, we don't bury down on it. We don't make it a part of who they are, but that is the truth of the game. And that's also true about playing at a NRL level. Some guys are just not up to it. Now, George Williams' situation was he was homesick. He had no family out here. His girlfriend wanted to go home and have the baby, and there was a likelihood that she was, after having the baby in England, she was going to stay over there and not come back for his final year. That's understandable.
Yeah.
But, mate, don't sit there and try and make out it's someone else's problem. It's your problem. The Raiders were respectful towards you and said, mate, if you cannot see this through, which is increasingly going that way, then we'll let you go now. And that's what they did. They let him go at that point. They said, you're clearly struggling. We will let you go. But that's not the Raiders' fault. That's not on them. And for them to say the abrupt manner it happened, you'd been asking for weeks. So don't sit there and complain it surprised you. What seems to upset him most is two things. One is that he thinks it was leaked by the club, which it wasn't. And two, which he's indicated he got paid out, all the rest of it. He actually went to the Raiders after being released, asking for a release and finally being granted one, and said, I want to be paid out the rest of my contract. Mm. They said, mate, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So he went to mediation, and he lost in mediation. So that's upset him. That didn't come out in the interview on Friday, but that's the truth. He lost in mediation, so he didn't get his payout that he wanted. Again, you want to talk about situations. What job do you say, listen, I'm done, I don't want to work anymore? They say, okay, you can go.
Yeah.
And then you say, but just pay me out the rest of what you owe me in the contract.
Mm.
Oh, please, well, come on.
Well, Paul, how do we get them mentally tougher?
Oh, Gordon, that's...
Mate, I said it years ago, right? So I said it years ago. Our body shapes were different, right? Our body shapes were total, like Glenn Lazarus.
Yeah.
The biggest man on the field, never gave up a play, played 80 minutes of origin, had 118, I suppose, 120 kilos. We marvelled. I think, you know, in the modern era, he was the greatest front rower, wasn't he?
He was.
He went to 5 or 6 grand finals in a row. He won grand finals at 3 different clubs.
Yep.
He was it. He was the
cornerstone,
the benchmark
of every pack he was in.
Absolutely. His body shapes, if you look at the way they look now, they all look like Batman. Like, they all look like they got Batman's uniform on. So physically, they're in better shape. They all take their shirt off. Mm. They've all got abs. They've all got pecs. They've all got everything. They've all put on their budgie smugglers and all that kind of, mate. The fat blokes are now, mate, they kept the jersey on last because they didn't want to go to the shower because we used to tease them. Like, it looked like a big pile of jelly going to the shower. But they were mentally tougher than these kids today with abs and look like and train for it.
Yeah,
professional athletes.
If you
part of that is the training they're going, because there's this,
because they give in.
But there's this focus in current training standards whereby they don't want players to exert themselves too hard. And I've told this story before about the Broncos when Kelvin Giles went to the Broncos, and Wayne Bennett's one instruction when he got there, he said, "What do you want me to do with him?" He said, "Put some steel in him." And Kelvin Giles said, "I was deliberately unfair to the Broncos." He said, I'd say to him, "You got 6 400s. He said, "They do 6. And he'd say, "You know what? Not good enough. You're doing another 6.
Oof.
They'd all whinge and moan and complain, but they do it. And they toughen down, they do it. And that built that mental toughness. But now you've got the sports science guys sitting there, and the guys are all doing their training with the GPS, and the sports medicine guy walks over to the head trainer and says, "Listen, mate, he's done 4Ks this week. He needs to rest now. He doesn't need to do any more." So as soon as it starts getting tough at training and he's mentally starting to get trained, he goes and sits down because physically they
want
to keep
him
fresh.
Take away their dashboard, because then you don't know what speed they're doing, how much fuel they got left in the tank.
100%.
And you're telling them that.
Yep.
Oops. Well done. I like that. We got to the bottom of that one.
We're going to take a break. We'll just come back, and then it'll be all right. Now, Parramatta 6, Bulldogs 0. And when we return, we might lighten things up a bit with I Call BS as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Right now, Parramatta lead the Bulldogs 6-0 with about 20 minutes gone in that game. That's the current game that's underway, and that score is thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. Get the power of Australia's biggest independent stocktake sale. It's on now at Tyre Power. And this afternoon, we will go live to Fortress Robina, where we'll call the Titans and Manly game. And I think Manly are red-hot favourites for that one, boys. We'll get your thoughts on that shortly, Gordy. Right now, it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
All right, boys, this is where we get to just let off a little bit of steam. I Call BS. Well, you were just talking about players' mental toughness, Paul. I mean, I don't want to pick on our newest recruit, Benji Marshall, but he's not here today because his wife had a baby a week ago. I mean, what's going on with... She's had a baby a week ago. She had the baby. Firstly, he didn't. And it's a week has passed. And where's Benji? He's not here because his wife had the baby a week ago. I mean, that my father was in the Grosvenor Hotel waiting for the phone call when I was born and returned there.
And he didn't want to come home.
Didn't want to come home, no.
No issues there either.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm calling BS on Benji Marshall a week later.
You obviously don't know Benji's wife.
Well,
Because you'd be terrified to call BS on her.
Really?
If you knew.
Well, I just think
she's
it's a little
very
bit,
much the boss.
Right. Well, I still think it's a little bit, I mean, okay, she had a baby yesterday. I'm going to have the day off.
They got two kids under 3.
Yeah, well, mate, so what? It's a week on. Every time we speak to him, he's going to the in-laws to pick up the little bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, because he's a good dad.
Okay, mate, look, there's the last thing I would expect is for you to agree with me. But I'm calling BS on Benji. I'm also calling BS on people that call their family the fam bam. And he is probably one of those guys, or people that say people are crazy are cray-cray. I hate those two sayings. I'm off Benji Marshall for having a week off because his baby got born.
No, you're off him because you're off Benji Marshall because he didn't give you his phone number gave everybody else his new number.
Why would I want his phone number?
And he brushed you when you were trying to throw him sausages for corporate gigs. Let's put a few real cards on the table.
Firstly, we wouldn't expect you to back me, but you think if someone was offering you money to go and do a function, you'd at least call him back. But I'm over that. That's okay.
Where'd
I'm
you
just
get the fam bam and the cray cray from?
People say it all the time. I'm going to spend some time with the fam bam. Oh, wake up to yourself, you know? And my wife came home the other night and said there was a woman in the East Gardens car park and she was cray cray. And I said, don't you start saying that. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who else would like to call BS?
I call BS on your mustard jacket.
What's wrong with that?
Mate, honestly, it's like the dog's blanket.
Are you serious?
Where did you get it from?
Mate, what
Tommy
are you talking
Smith
about?
Wants his horse rug back.
Mate, he got it from Sports Girl.
It's
like Columbo's jacket, you know? Remember that show? Columbo. There's nothing wrong with that jacket.
Not a lot right with it, though, either.
Oh, come on, mate.
Who wears a mustard jacket anymore, Anthony?
What are you up?
You've got a T-shirt on, then you've got your Triple M collared shirt on, yeah. And then you've got this mustard jacket.
Yeah. Mate, I don't know.
Mate, you look like a Hollywood director.
I don't know where you live, but it's about 8 degrees this morning in Sydney. And your mate over here, he wears whatever he gets free off the promotions table. He's got 87 Triple M shirts for
$9.99.
I know it's coming in today to Triple M. They've finally called BS on you, Anthony, too.
Why? Who?
Well, we've got all these workers around. The whole place is just getting pulled apart. Mm. There's workers everywhere at the moment. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but they're putting all these little spy cameras in the roof. It looks like a casino roof. To pick you up going around pilfering off people's tables every Sunday when there's no workers in.
Yeah. Well, we all know who steals people's lollies and red snakes.
Anthony, we've had listeners ring up the program to report you from years of this sort of thing, activity.
Would you like to call BS on anything? BS
might,
even?
Might give the BS a spell.
BS on you for not turning up prepared with an I call BS.
Well, you didn't tell me I had to have an I call BS.
Well, what would change this
we
week?
We don't always have one every week.
What makes you think we don't have one?
Mate, members of your family.
Yeah, I'll call BS, Anthony.
Right, go. Okay?
Some of the decision-making over the course of the weekend, particularly some of the sin bins, which the NRL have now since come out and conceded that the bunker's getting too involved, they're getting decisions wrong. Fans are becoming increasingly frustrated.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thanks, Scoop.
Thank you very much for that.
I was waiting for you to defend it.
Look, I did think that the Roosters one the other night was pretty ordinary.
Mm.
It was a silly sin bin.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys won too with Reece Robson, which they've since come out and said it should never have got binned.
But it didn't cost them
the
game.
Game was in the balance at that stage. And with the Chooks, it was critical because they were leading 12-0 at the time, and that was the beginning of the end in terms of it was a real momentum shift.
Hmm.
I will say, though, there was a common sense ruling during the week in the AFL where a player broke the jaw of an opponent where they were going for the ball and they collided. And he went to the judiciary because he was charged and they're having a little bit of a similar crackdown to the NRL. And out of that, the judiciary came out and said, look, no, it was a legitimate attempt to contest the ball. Therefore, it was a legitimate accident. Therefore, no case to answer. And he was exonerated. I do think we do need a little bit of common sense. Like the couple we've seen over the weekend, I don't know what the bunker thinks. I don't know if I was serious. I don't know if the bunker actually watches footy. You know what I mean?
Isn't the issue, Kenny? Isn't the issue?
No, I'm serious.
You're at KFC, aren't they? Well,
but you know what I mean? Like, honestly, I mean that from the point of view that when you watch enough footy, you tend to know what's right. They are either lacking in enough self-confidence to just make what they, and they're frightened, so they're always deferring to the weakest position or the politically correct is probably the right way to say it, decision.
Mm.
But they're getting it wrong, and it just appears that they just don't watch footy.
Isn't the issue as well that we get different people in there over the course of a weekend?
Well, that's what the NRL's got to fix out.
And we've got a different set of eyes. And so as a result of that,
but the rules should be the rules, Hoops.
I know, but unfortunately, because it's subjective, we're never going to get it in perfect black and white.
I'm a supporter of the crackdown. It has to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the spin-off is that we're getting ridiculous, innocuous accidents. And we're seeing penalties or sin bins or even send-offs in some cases. We saw the other weekend with
Can I say this, Heatherington though? For all those people blowing up about, they need time and all this sort of business, right? One, you don't need 6 months to change your tackle style, your target zone, right? You don't need that. Two, when rugby union went down this road a couple of seasons back, copped a lot of criticism. They had red cards, yellow cards. They had specific guidelines as to what constituted it. And saying, look, mate, it was an accident, which I don't cop in rugby league. You can't just keep saying it's an accident, because that's how we got in this situation where guys were careless, not accidental, and we try to portray it as being accidental.
Let me ask
and it was careless.
On that, though, let me ask you this one then. With the Siwa Taukeiaho and Cleary, like, clearly that one, it's a wet night. Nathan is falling. He's 100%, dropped.
100%. And half a more important, at least, you look at Taukeiaho, where his arm was.
Yeah, that's right.
You look where his arm was.
Correct.
What else could he... Oh, that's why I get that.
They're the ones that I'm
talking
about.
That's an accident. That is clearly an accident. And Taukeiaho did all he could. He didn't have the arm parallel to the ground, and it wasn't swinging or anything. It was basically, it was almost vertical, his arm. So it was in good body position, and it was just a clear he slipped into his arm that it happened. So that was a bad decision. But a lot of these ones where the guys, for example, Cody Ramsey, when he was, the Cronulla winger, I've forgotten his name now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was a few. That was a few weeks ago.
When he hit him, but he had the whole body to aim at, and he tried to go over the ball, at which point the ball arm went off the ball and hit Cody Ramsey in the face and dropped him. Now, he had 5 feet of body underneath the ball. He had probably 3 inches above the ball. He chose that target zone, got it wrong, and got sin bit. You cannot complain about those ones making the game soft. And all these people who go, oh, mate, the game's getting soft, it's not the game I grew up on. You know what? Bugger off.
Seriously. Andy Herodi was the Cronulla.
Herodi, yeah, that was him.
Was on.
But you know what? Bugger off. If you're sitting there and you are seriously saying, you know what? I want these blokes who are going to have mashed potatoes for brains by the time they're 65. For your entertainment, mate, don't need you.
Yeah.
Get out of there, mate. And a lot of them, I had some jerk off from the Dufto Canaries going, oh, mate, you know, who you think you are, mate? The game's going soft. Anyway, I thought, mate, seriously, you've played 250 games for the Dufto Canaries, mate. Wouldn't they be glad to see the back of you? I just thought, because the way he was talking about the game, I just thought, mate, this is a guy. He's dead set a caveman. The game has got to get beyond this primitive thinking that we've got about that. This is blokes getting knocked out every week, and I'll tell you now, there are far more knockouts in the game than there used to be. A big reason for it is poor tackle technique, and blokes are knocking themselves out. Blokes are getting their heads in bad positions. That comes back to coaches not teaching them how to tackle anymore, or teaching them the wrong style of tackling, because they've got this vertical wrap and hold and wrestle technique, which is more dangerous than the old-fashioned way. Were you going to argue it's going to stop the ball? You just can't do it.
Game on at Bankwest, Anthony. Yep. 6-6, Parramatta and Canterbury.
10 to go till half-time. Yeah, 6-6. We're going to take a break. Gordy's going to hold fire on his I Call BS, because he's going to double down on Raging Bull thanks to his mates at Apricity. That's coming up shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. You know, across the origin period, wherever you are, you can listen to all the NRL on the Listener app. You can listen to it on the AFL on the Listener app as well. So if you love Triple M footy, it's with you wherever you go. 6-6, Parramatta and the Bulldogs with Paul Kent, Triceps Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. It's time for this. Well, didn't we have fun at Origin 1 with the boys from Apricity Finance? Turn your workflow into cash flow with an invoice finance facility from Apricity Finance. Call 1-300-APRICITY, Apricity Finance, Mr. L. Toll and the gang. What are you raging about today, Gordon?
Raging? Well, let me... I'll tell you what, I might go the press conference... I think it was Thursday night or whatever when Wayne Bennett, or Friday night when Wayne Bennett goes in with the Broncos and obviously asks all the media guys, where are they? He goes, oh, well, apparently there's a bigger story. There's a broom going through the club. And then Wayne, is part of the problem. He's the one that signed Matt Lodge on that big deal. He's the one that signed that. Then he's got a player that's coaching there now that has done so much for him as a coach, and you think that he would support him a little bit. And then he comes out and goes, well, the reason Tavita wants to leave is because he's signed here to play for me. And I think, well, that's fair enough. So Tavita's looking for a new club. Why doesn't Wayne sign him at South? Or why doesn't he sign him at the next
one? Wayne won't be there next year.
Why does he sign Matt Lodge?
Why doesn't he sign Matt Lodge? So look, I just thought it was poor form. Wayne, you've earned so much. You've done so much wonderful stuff. The beef at the Broncos is not with Kevy. The beef at the Broncos is not with this current group of guys that are trying to turn the club back around, which you tried to and you couldn't. And you fell on your sword because you wanted to do it your way. They didn't want to. Anthony Seibold's fallen on his sword. And now Kevy's in there. And I think he got so much enjoyment out of where the club's at now. And I didn't like that. I saw a smirk, and that was the happiest Wayne Bennett's been at a press conference. And I just didn't like it.
Okay, good on you, Gordy, for sticking up for your mate Kevy. And we wish.
Oh, well, it's not sticking up. No, it's just not. The fact that, yeah, like, and he just said, so it's not even about Kevy, but he's talking about all these players and they wanted to come and play for me. Let me tell you something, Wayne, you got sacked because they didn't play for you. Because they didn't have a go for you either. Then they didn't have a go for Seibold. And then, you know, Kevy's smart enough to go, well, Wayne Bennett, one of the greatest coaches ever, got sacked. Anthony Seibold went there with a big rap with a 6-year deal or whatever. He's got moved on. Well, something's got to change. Because the playing group hasn't changed for the last two coaches, and look where they've ended up. So Kevy has to put a broom through the joint.
All right. Thank you, mate. Short and sweet today. Thanks to your friends at Apricity Finance.
I just love you reading an invoice ad.
No worries at all, mate. Yes.
Are you using Apricity now, Anthony?
No, I use the old invoice book, if you must know. Oops, but again,
I was just curious.
Those invoice books, probably don't put them, keep putting your receipts in, your claims in numerical order. That's how they pick you up.
Yeah, no. Well, look, Paul, I know you don't want to agree with me either, but mate, I said to you and Ryan Girdler, mate, don't worry about what I do. Worry about what you do.
Gordon made the remark about he could see the irony in you.
Yeah, but he says that every week, mate. He says that every week. Talk about someone's bright light.
You're part of our community, mate.
That's right.
So that's why we have buy into your affairs, because you don't pay your taxes.
Oh, that's lies. That's absolute lies.
So because you're a tax dodger, that means a little bit more comes out of my wage and Hoops's wage and Gordy's wage. To compensate what you don't pay. So that's why we have a financial involvement in you not paying your taxes.
Paul, my taxes are an open book because I have
professional.
And, mate, I'm going to go public with this. You were supposed to be told, all of you, not to keep bringing this up. Right? And now I'm going to do, Paul, and I'm going to refrain, is one of your friends from the many, many establishments you drink, and from all reports it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, I hear all sorts of reports about you getting out and amongst it and that you are a real Tomcat, a real Alvin Purple. And now someone even said,
so when are you going to start insulting me?
That's good, isn't it? Someone's even said the other day, you're like, if you're a Seinfeld fan, you're like Kramer, you've got the Kevorka. Women can't keep away from you.
Well, Anthony, you're telling the story, mate. Well, I don't know where you get this
from. Is this any of this true?
No, it's not true, but
that's never stopped you either.
Your reputation for not paying your taxes is well known,
No, but,
Anthony.
Mate, your reputation is...
But don't start making this up.
No,
I'm not making it up. There's no invoices for cash. Everybody knows.
I think Canterbury have just scored.
Yeah, hang on. Don't change the subject. First of all, mate, everybody knows now whatever he says, you say. He wants chicken twisties, you want chicken twisties. He wants a frozen sunny boy, you want a frozen sunny boy.
No,
he's a Tomcat. You're not in his league. Let's leave it there.
That's 10-6.
Dogs 10, Parramatta 6.
No invoices for folding.
Rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
Welcome back. Well, after 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by Aaron Woods, Triple M intern. We're going to see if we can't find Woodsy a job, just in case he can't get a contract with an NRL club. We'll see what else he... I know he's doing a course in carpentry at TAFE, so that might be something we can look at. More importantly, even than Aaron Woods, is a State of Origin Game 2 is only a week away. Broadcast live on the Triple M network or on the listener app, whatever you prefer. Let's talk about these both these Origin teams, and would you be making any changes now, Paul? Obviously, the big news is no Jake Trbojevic for New South Wales for Game 2.
Yeah, it's a obviously it's a funny one actually, because nobody knew Jake had injured himself at training until Brad Fittler let loose on Friday night that he was injured and wouldn't be playing. I don't know if Des Hasler was thrilled that Freddie decided to release it there. I'm sure Des would have liked to have left it to the last minute for the game today against the Titans before that was released. But it's apparently he's torn the glute muscle in his backside, which is I don't know front rows how they do that, but he's torn that muscle.
Yeah.
Probably doing them a return,
I did tip 10 months back in 1993, but I wasn't playing footy, I can tell you that much. Boom tish. Anyway.
He's out. There's a couple of ways Brad Fittler can go, whether it brings Crichton in to play an edge and then moves Cameron Murray into the middle. There's a couple of Regan Campbell-Gillard's been mentioned as a possibility. So I don't know which way you go. I think Crichton probably is the one that makes sense the most, particularly the way New South Wales move the ball around against Queensland. If you put Murray in the middle, that big bopper sort of going through and then Murray coming on the back of that gets pretty dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, the word is that it will be Angus Crichton, because he can play on an edge, he can play in the middle. They've also got the versatility of Liam Martin on the interchange bench, who conversely can do exactly the same role. He can play on an edge if need be, or he has also featured in the middle for Penrith as well. I reckon the bloke who's desperately unlucky, and look, in all likelihood he'll probably end up in the 20-man squad anyways, Dale Finucane from the Melbourne Storm. We spoke about him earlier in the program. Dale's just been at such an elite standard for such a long period of time and featured in so many grand finals. And I've often heard people at the Melbourne Storm and elsewhere around the game say if he was a Queenslander, he would have played 30 State of Origin games. Hasn't been able to do it for New South Wales, but I think in all likelihood, he will also be in the squad.
Well, that's a like-for-like player, isn't it?
I don't think he'll play.
If you lose someone like Jake, that 80-minute in the middle, got a good set of hands, it's a like-for-like player, unless they move Cam Murray in there and Crichton. So they've got so many options in New South Wales. So Cam Murray can come in and play lock, which he does for his club, and he can play in the middle and you can move Crichton to the edge. So mate, they've got some options, but Dale is a like-for-like player.
And you can bring Aaron Woods in.
He's got a fair bit of time on his hands at the moment. Boys, what about the Queensland side? He's outside. We're not talking. He's coming on in 12 minutes for happy hour. Now, we've got to talk about the Queensland side. Before we do, you've got something to add.
Let's ask Gordy, because all the talk at the moment. Well, also not just obviously Papali'i will come back in. Christian Welsh will be okay. He got through last night unscathed in terms of that head knock. But it's all around the fullback, mate. Are they going to pick this 18-year-old kid who just looks every inch of a freak, or looks AJ super Brimson's, talent?
Well, AJ Brimson's got bone bruising on one of his knees, and he's ruled out today, so he's not even going to play against Manly. So I thought AJ would be the likely replacement, but I think we learned in game one when we're playing this great New South Wales side, everybody has to train from day one. And we made that mistake. I think, you know, Kalen Ponga didn't train. I don't think Harry Grant trained. I don't think Cameron Munster. So it was a checkered preparation, which wasn't good. And New South Wales showed that. So whoever we pick, 17 guys can be on the training paddock on day one. So that'll be, I think, Paul Green's dilemma is getting 17 fit Queenslanders.
Yeah. Well,
Ponga didn't feature yesterday for Newcastle.
He didn't feature.
So do you think that means...
Didn't Newcastle rule him out and say that he won't be playing and then we want him to stay here and rehab? I don't know whether they have the power over the states when it comes to State of Origin.
Well, no, they're not supposed to, are they?
And whether Kalen Ponga has that relationship where he goes, hey, guys, I'm going to be right. I just wasn't good to play for Newcastle, but I'm going to be right. Who knows?
Getting back to Reece Walsh, who you called a super freak, he's played... what, 7 NRL games. He's probably a month off his 19th birthday. Should we even be having this discussion? Should we be just saying, let this kid play a little bit of NRL and get some flying time under his belt before we even talk about him playing Origin?
Well, there's a list in the paper today, Anthony, where you got Ben Eichen, who was the youngest State of Origin player of all time, 18 years, 83 days. Brad Fittler, Brett Dallas. Reece Walsh, if he is selected, will be the fourth youngest player of all time to feature in that arena. William Hopewadi, Israel Folau, Mitchell Pearce, Jared Hayne. Now, out of that list, Reece Walsh hasn't played, but all the rest of them went on to have really strong, careers, long, yeah, prosperous rugby league and State of Origin careers. It's the old line. If you're good enough, you're old enough. And I tend to think that Queensland, if Ponga's not available and Brimson doesn't play today, then I don't know what are the other alternatives. You go with Holmes again at fullback and you go with Caulfield on the wing. I mean, Reece Walsh just looks such a special talent. Everything we've seen from him so far, he plays with that risk-free abandon where he's just prepared to try things, and he's prepared to do things that normally might be reserved for park footy or the backyard, but because he's still very much early days in terms of the development of his career, he's got this brilliant, carefree attitude.
What Let me tell you something. Yeah, does his style right now work in Origin hoops?
No.
Right.
You don't pick him. You can't pick him.
No. I think Nathan Brown.
And you don't pick him. You don't bring him into a Queensland side that's just had 50 put on him.
Yeah, and I think
defence is going to win on Queensland game too. Not attack.
If he keeps on developing, I think he will play Origin and he'll play a lot of Origin. Playing this year is not going to make or break his career. And I think it can hinder it more than help.
Of course it can. And as I said, he's not going to – Queensland need to defend their way to victory in this game.
Yep.
They need to stop New South Wales scoring 50. They don't need to
Who's their best fullback
then?
Val Holmes. Brimson.
If he's right.
Brimson's not playing today, though.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, no, the talk is, like Gordy said, he's got this bone bruising and he probably won't be available for, you know, like he wouldn't be able to train during the week, which they ran into that issue last time around. So, I don't know, I get the feeling as though Walsh, it's gathered a lot of momentum, this story, and he's certainly...
it's a newspaper story.
No, I reckon he's...
I reckon he's sitting in an office and they're bored.
Let's just
put the list together of the youngest Origin players ever. We'll put a nice graphic to it. We'll get someone to say, yeah, he can handle it.
I spoke to a couple of people up there earlier in the week, and they seem to think that he was definitely in the conversation.
Before we move on from Reece Walsh, boys, as I know we all watched that game yesterday where he ran 80 metres, but we have to discuss that tackle from Brayley, who to bring him down like the way he did so close to the line.
Yeah, it was shades of Scotty Sattler in the 2003 GF, or Ronnie Coote back in the day. Classic copybook cover tackle, just didn't give up, all effort. And he's done a few of those this year, Jaden Brayley, where he's not the flashiest dummy half that you'll ever find, but he certainly has no quit at all in him. He's got some great qualities.
He's a footballer, though. That was a football tackle.
It was beautiful.
You know what I mean? That was not an athlete tackle where so many guys these days, they would have ran further and further, tried to catch up and collar them with a hand in the back of the collar and swing them down or something like that. You know what I mean? And they cost themselves 10 yards every time, often cost themselves a try.
It was beautiful. Boys, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we'll say goodbye to Paul because we want to kick off Happy Hour right on time. Halftime, Bulldogs 10. That's Aaron Woods' old team. Bulldogs 10, Parramatta 6 on the Tyre Power scoreboard as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it.
We're just getting your microphone fixed. They muzzled you for a little while.
Yes, I've got the old tin microphone, not the gold microphone. I've got the tin microphone. Dogs 10, Parramatta 6, 30 seconds gone, second half. There's a Parramatta player in the bin. We'll come back to that shortly. It's time for this.
This is Maroon Confidential.
Thank you, too, for all the listeners who email in, tweet in all these wonderful things for us to read out on Maroon Confidential. And to Steve in the Shire, mate, I haven't got any more Saturday nights left for functions this year, but we'll come back next year and I'll book your mob in there. That sounds like a good good night out, but you can get hold of me for functions, of course. Yes, no worries. Now, moving on to...
seriously.
No,
mate,
no,
that
I just,
should cost you.
I don't want to leave the guy hanging. I don't want to leave the guy hanging.
Mate, well, what are our sponsors playing?
You just gone and helped yourself to a free ad.
No, I did. That's communication with the listeners. That's keeping it real.
Right, okay.
Now, what about this one? What Triple M identity was spotted at Mr. Wong's, which is the Flash restaurant, I think, in Bridge Street there.
Very fancy. Mm.
What a Triple M identity was spotted at Mr. Wong's, narrowly avoiding the drama on Bridge Street through the week when he came out. I wonder who that could be.
Wow.
Mr. Wong's. Wow.
There's a lot of action in the city this
week. There was, wasn't there?
A lot of action, yeah.
Anyway, I hope whoever it is might, I hope they're okay.
I do too.
Mm. Wasn't you, was it, Paul? Because you, huh? You, mate, are the man,
like,
about.
You haven't put yourself in again, have you?
Mate, oh, yeah. I couldn't afford dinner at Mr. Wong's.
No. Please. So you will do a gig there if anyone's interested.
Yeah, that's right. But, mate, why would I go to Mr. Wong's when I can go to the Star Buffet at Bankstown RSL? That's a big question.
He's too good. That's a fair call, too.
What about this one? Our very own Brent Reed spotted at the midweek grand final for the Manly Alambi Llamas soccer team. So excited to get there, he turns up in bike shorts and forgot the outer shorts to cover what his mama gave him. And then, not only that, they've won the midweek grand final, the Llamas. They've beaten the DY Devils 2-1. Having a group photo at the end of the game to celebrate the victory, they're all in tears with joy, where Reedy pops up and says, quote unquote, "This would be better if Siebes was here." Can you believe this guy?
And he seriously played the grand final in bike shorts.
He did, yeah. He did.
Mate, he's going to start thinking you've got beef with him, Reedy.
I've got no beef
with
him.
Well, he makes Maroon Confidential nearly every other
one. Well, this is what the listeners are sending in. Also spotted a man about to join us after 3 o'clock, the great the Bulldogs legend, Aaron Woods, spotted getting a parking ticket on the Kingsway for parking on the footpath outside Guymere TAFE. I mean, who does this bloke think he is? You know, who does he think he is?
Well, I'll tell you what. At least he's trying to, you know, look after himself post-footy and get himself a degree in something.
Well, Paul,
Maybe don't try and get rid of me, Anthony.
Well, it's happy hour. We've got to let you go, mate.
I'll go and work on my happiness then.
Oh, you got to go too?
Yeah, I've got to get out to Fortress Seabus.
Yeah, this is a great jointy. You just come and go as you please. Anyway, we'll catch up with you for the game. Kenny, we'll see you on 360.
Yeah.
Hoops, unfortunately, you're staying.
I am, Anthony.
We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy. The Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.